guys wanted to learn about the questions of Pontius Pilate. If you already open up to Mark chapter 15, that's what we'll be reading. Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Mark chapter 15 and verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked them again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you?" But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd, so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. Let's just commit our time to the Lord once again. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time that we spend looking into your word, considering the questions of Pontius Pilate, understanding that every single thing written in the word of God is for our edification, for our encouragement, to challenge us, to draw our hearts closer to you, and to remind us to live a life that will be pleasing to you. We thank you again, even for this part of the story that we read of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he went to that cross, how he took the punishment for our sins, and it is through that sacrifice that we have forgiveness of sins. We again praise you for our salvation. We thank you for this time this morning. We pray that you would challenge and bless every heart here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we're looking at the questions of Pontius Pilate. I hope you noticed as we read through these few verses, we read just a few of the questions that Pontius Pilate asked through the Word of God. Now, as I did my own study, I could be a few numbers off, but there are about 53 verses in the Bible where we have Pilate's name mentioned. Now, again, most of those are in the Gospels, but 53 verses where his name is mentioned. And out of those 53 verses, in those verses, he asked 24 questions. Now, again, since we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of the questions are repeated. So there's about 15 to 17 different questions that Pontius Pilate asked. Now, again, it'll kind of be a quick zip through because we can't really go into detail as much with each question. But half of the verses that we have recorded about Pontius Pilate, he's asking a question. He was a very inquisitive man. You know, and even as we saw from that first survey question, we saw that, you know, perhaps many of us, we ask a lot of questions. I think of, even at work, one of my coworkers actually put a limit to the number of questions that I can ask. It was just nonstop. I was going, "Oh, what do I do here? What do I?" And she's just like, "Joe, you've reached your maximum for the day. Wait till tomorrow." So I ask a lot of questions. You know, oftentimes as guys, we think, "Oh, you know, we're driving, we're lost. I'm not going to stop and ask for directions." But there are different reasons why we ask questions. And even as we look at the life of Pontius Pilate, perhaps he asked some of these questions for different reasons. Oftentimes we ask questions, why? So that we can gather information. I ask you these survey questions because I want to know what you are thinking. I want to know what you desire, what you know. Other times, perhaps, you know, some of us here in a teaching role, even at work, I'll ask questions not because I don't know the answer, but because I want to assess the knowledge of someone else. I say, you know what, I want to see, I want the heart of that person to be revealed. What do they desire? You know, what do they know? So again, there's different reasons that we can ask questions, and we see Pontius Pilate ask a variety of questions to a number of people. He asked questions directed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He also asked questions to the religious leaders, to the crowd during that day. So again, various people that Pilate addressed questions to. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at these questions. I don't know if it's too small for you to see, but Pontius Pilate's questions, as we read just a few of them in this passage, I divided them up into four different categories. Now, these are by no means any official categories, but four different categories that Pontius Pilate asked questions related to these specific topics. Who is Jesus? What did he do? And as we reflect on some of his specific questions, who are you and what will you do with Jesus Christ? So again, we're just going to go right into these questions. Again, no official division of these categories, but we'll just get right into it. Pontius Pilate asked a number of questions about who Jesus was. We look at his interaction and it would appear that he had a true desire to find out who is Jesus Christ. Who is this man that's being brought before me? A lot of these verses I'm just going to reference. I put some of the answers up here to the questions that Pontius Pilate asked. Now, what we find is, and we'll look at it, in the next category or one of the upcoming categories, a lot of the questions that anybody asked Jesus when he was at the cross or going to the cross at the trial, he didn't always answer. Yet we know, even the questions that Pontius Pilate asked, we can look through the Word of God and find the specific answers to these questions that he was asking. So again, that's what I'm going to do. I do have a number of references. I might just mention them if you're taking notes, but I did leave copies of these notes at the back for anybody that would want to grab them. But looking at our first question, again, they're not all listed up there, but John 18:37, Pilate asks, "Are you a king?" He's trying to find, is Jesus a king? Again, some of these questions Jesus answered, some of the questions Jesus didn't answer. We saw even in Mark 15, he opened not his mouth, so that Pilate marveled. So we have different situations, but we find in Matthew 1:1, and this kind of leads into our next question, but he's referred to as the son of David. And again, the promise is made to David's lineage, even as we look at Isaiah 9, familiar verses around Christmas, he will reign on David's throne forever. And again, we look back at that prophecy, Jesus Christ fulfilling that prophecy, Jesus was indeed a king. So Pilate's question answered right there in Matthew 1:1 and Isaiah 9. He goes on to say, and actually this is one of the questions that Pontius Pilate asked, or that's recorded for us in all four Gospels. Are you the king of the Jews? Are you not just the king, but are you the king of the Jews? We read that in Mark 15 too. We again see our answers even in John 1:49. Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." So as Pilate's trying to find out who is Jesus, we find that Jesus is all of these things. Again, as we're listed here, the Son of David, a rabbi, he's a teacher. He's the Son of God, the King of Israel. So again, it's amazing that even for each of us, what's the point in studying Pilate's questions? Well, what do we take away from it? Perhaps we are asking some of the same questions. Maybe we know all this, but do we have that same inquisitive mind as Pilate that we want to really know who Jesus Christ is? Perhaps you trusted Christ at a young age. Maybe, you became a Christian at, 5 years old, 10 years old, whatever it might be. Maybe you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. But are you still seeking to know your Savior more and more? And again, that's part of the reason I'm intrigued by Pilate's questions. He really wants to know who Jesus is. Now again, most of us know the end of the story. He eventually makes the wrong decision, yet we know God is orchestrating all these details in the background. But he, in a sense, rejects Christ. Yet he's seeking to find out who he is. But in all four Gospels, are you the King of the Jews? We read Nathanael's response. What about, I mentioned Christmas time before, we think about the wise men, the Magi. What do they say? They say, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" Right? They refer to him in the same way, the King of the Jews. So we see that Pilate's questions are answered as we look through the Word of God. The questions that we have about Jesus Christ can be answered as we look into the Word of God. When you consider who someone is, a lot of times you look at where they're from. So what did Pilate ask? Naturally, where are you from? In John 19:9. And we read in Micah 5, as we talk about prophecies being fulfilled over and over, we read that he was born in Bethlehem. Raised in Nazareth, but born in Bethlehem. But where was Jesus really from? Now, physically and humanly speaking, he was born in Bethlehem. But I looked at his prayer in John 17, and we look at verse 5. He refers to the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. And we know he's referencing his existence in heaven before he was born as a child in the manger in Bethlehem. So again, we see that Jesus was from heaven. And Pilate's question answered right there. Pilate also asked if Jesus was a Galilean. Matthew 21:11, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. It just intrigued me that all of the questions that Pilate had, we find in the Word of God. And how often do we not look into finding out more and more about our Savior? Again, when we consider what he's done, we had a time of remembrance this morning where we considered his death on the cross for our sins, the salvation that we have through him. Yet, sometimes we're just satisfied, "Oh, well, Jesus, Son of God, died on the cross for my sins, I'm saved, great." But do we really know our Savior? If you're in a relationship with someone in this life, whether it be a spouse, a sibling, a parent, a friend, you want to get to know them. You don't say, "Oh, you know what? I found out enough about them. I'm done." If you really love that person, you want to know more and more and more about them. Again, Pilate, again, I got to be careful how I say this, but I have some sympathy for him in the sense that I see a true desire that he really wants to know who Jesus Christ is. This next question in Matthew 27:13, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" We had a similar question in Mark 15. Now, we all, those that have spent some time in the Word of God, we know that Jesus did indeed hear what they were saying. But Pilate was marveling that he's not even responding to this. In Matthew 9 and Luke 9, we read of Jesus knowing their thoughts. So not only did he hear what they were saying, he even knew what they were thinking before they even spoke. So as we look at who Jesus is, it kind of goes hand in hand with what he did. And even just that, you know, he is all known. He's referred to as a prophet as well. But all of these things refer to who Jesus is. But what did he do? And even if I can mention the comment that what we do largely defines who we are. I mean, our lives are defined by our actions, our words, our interactions with other people. But what did Jesus do? Pilate asked that question. What have you done that your own people have delivered you over? What have you done? What did Jesus do? And actually, that passage, the hymn number 50 that Paul read through, we were looking at Philippians for part of that. And Philippians 2, 7 through 8, what did Jesus do? He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He was obedient to death. That phrase has come up this morning already. Obedient to death. How is someone obedient to death? Well, we realize that it was God's will that Jesus Christ would come down and die for the sins of mankind. So he was obedient to death. Pilate asked, what have you done? We also read in 1 Peter 2, verse 22 and 23. When we consider what Jesus did, oftentimes, and even as believers today, I say sometimes it's what we don't do that makes us stand out. And even as we look at the example of Jesus Christ, not only what did he do? He was obedient to death. He was crucified for your sins and my sins. But what did he not do? 1 Peter 2, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And oftentimes, we look at the example of Jesus Christ as believers today in the workplace, even in the home, if we're living among unbelievers or even among believers, we can be a testimony of Jesus Christ by the things that we don't do. I'll tell you personally, in high school, again, I pray for more boldness with sharing Jesus Christ, but I was quiet often, you know, believe it or not. But I was very quiet, and it was the things that I didn't do and the things that I didn't say that made me stand out among my friends. Hey, everyone's going to this party. Oh, I don't go. Oh, I don't drink. No. And even if I didn't speak up for the name of Christ, then again, lost opportunities, but I prayed for more boldness. I stood out more for what I didn't do, for the words and phrases that I didn't say when I was in high school. Perhaps that's the same for you in your workplace, in whatever environment you're in, that you're going to stand out often for what you don't do. Jesus stands out for what he did and what he didn't do. He had no sin. Pilate asked again, similar question, why, what evil has he done? Again, we read that question, why, what evil has he done? Hebrews 4:15, we read that he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. What did he not do? He didn't sin. And if you want to turn briefly to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, just to read that together. I know I'm referencing a lot of verses here, but Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Just as we consider what Jesus did. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin, and then for the people's, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. And again, what did Jesus do? He offered up himself. He willingly went to the cross. It wasn't something that he went to by force. He willingly chose to go to the cross to fulfill his Father's will, but because of his love for us. Again, he offered up himself. That's what Jesus has done when we consider what did he do. He humbled himself, committed no sin. Open not his mouth. Again, that's where we look at more Pilate's questions. Mark 15:4. Have you no answer to me? And we see that Pilate marveled because Jesus wasn't speaking. John 19:10. Will you still not speak to me? And we read in Isaiah 53:7. As a sheep before its ears is silent, so we open not his mouth. What an incredible Savior. How often when we are accused, whether it's false accusations or true accusations, the first thing we want to do is speak up and defend ourselves, right? Let's look at the example of Jesus Christ. And even as Pilate was trying to figure out how is he not, because I'm sure standing many trials, how many people were accused and perhaps just defending themselves and calling for witnesses. Hey, no, I'm innocent. But Jesus opened not his mouth so that Pilate marveled. 19:15, shall I crucify your king? Again, all these questions, very familiar to many of you, I'm sure. Shall I crucify your king? Acts 2:36 tells us, God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, but he takes my life. But I lay it down. Some of the most powerful verses in Scripture, and Pilate, we're going to talk about Pilate, who he thinks he is. I mean, Pilate thinks he's some pretty hot stuff. He thinks he's the man in charge with authority here. But we see that Jesus says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down. To me, some of the most powerful verses in Scripture. Even after the crucifixion, after Jesus did what he came here to do, Pilate asked if Jesus was already dead, almost in a sense that he marveled at that. In Hebrews 2:9, we read that by the grace of God,
Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone, for all who would believe. So again, we look at what Jesus did. Ultimately, we know, even what we did this morning, remembering his death on the cross for our sin. Who is Jesus? What did he do? Now we come to the question, who are you? And Pilate has some questions that he was reflecting on his own person. You know, what does this have to do with me? And so we read that Pilate asking the question in John 18:35, am I a Jew? Now, is it your own people have delivered you? Like, what do I have to do with this? This, in a sense, doesn't impact me the same way. It's your people delivering you to me. And we read in Romans 1:16 that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, goes out to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. In Acts 13, and for the sake of time, we won't read it, but just a passage where Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, and they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and telling them this is who Jesus really is. During that time, those that lived during the days of Jesus, they didn't deny that he existed. I mean, many people came and interacted with him and saw him face to face, but they denied who he was. And we see Paul and Barnabas in Antioch, they're saying, you know what? We came to you telling you who Jesus Christ was, but you rejected it. And just that phrase where it says, you considered yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Again, he says, because you've rejected it. And in John we read that he came into his own and his own did not receive him. But because his own rejected him, the gospel went out to all of mankind. The gospel went out and a light to all the world, as Acts 13 tells us. But we see, whether we're a Jew or a Gentile, whether Pilate was a Jew or a Gentile, this man's life, Jesus Christ, had everything to do with who he was. And again, it wasn't something he said, oh, you know, I'm going to ignore it because, hey, I'm not part of your people. Jew or Gentile, even for us, we all need to decide, what are we going to do with Jesus Christ, excuse me. Pilate goes on to ask this question, do you not know that I have authority to release you or crucify you? John 19:10. Pilate was very mistaken. And we look at Jesus' response in verse 11 of John 19. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. And I refer back to John 10. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down. Just the power in those words. When we consider who we are, a lot of times, just like Pilate, we feel that we have much more control of our life than we actually do. We feel that we have a lot more authority over the circumstances that we go through, over the events that take place in our lives. Yet, we know, just like Pilate, we have a false sense of authority. We have a false sense of power in our own lives. Again, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power we have comes from Him and comes from our Heavenly Father. So we are powerless. We must reflect upon ourselves. Pilate asked this question, this next question, what is truth? That's in John 18:38. This is a question that is being asked even today by, you know, millions of people seeking truth, honestly and earnestly seeking truth. Even those that call themselves believers, those that call themselves Christian, there's many movements in the Christian church today where people say, well, you know what? There is no absolute truth. You know, and what's true for you may not be true for me. And, you know, even those that call themselves Christians, many roads lead to God. Yet we know, what does the word of God say? And we see that this wasn't spoken when Pilate asked that question, when he said, what is truth? But in John 14:6, we just had that memory verse recited for us this morning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's just incredible to see how the word of God answers these questions for us. And perhaps I'm speaking to a group where, hey, you know what? We already know this. We know that Jesus Christ is the only way. Hopefully we've come to that decision. But we want to seek more and more about our Savior. What does it mean that Jesus, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Well, okay, like from the forefront, yes, he's the only way to God. He's the only way for salvation. But do we really know all about our Savior, all that we can know as Jesus is revealing himself in the pages of Scripture? Just to pause here, as we think of this thought of who are you, think about your own life. And I know many of you and many of us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I look at the example of Paul, and I refer to Paul's backwards progression. So as I say that, Paul, before he became a Christian, we know about him. He was persecuting the church. He was very arrogant. He even goes through in one of his epistles saying, hey, I was the best of the best, the top, you know, the cream of the crop. I was everything they could ever imagine, they could ever seek for in a man. And pre-conversion Paul, very proud, very accomplished, and recognized his accomplishments. Yet I did a little look, a little study, even just looking at who are you, and actually these thoughts I found from one of the commentaries I was reading. But as Paul is writing these epistles, in a large portion of our New Testament written by Paul, he writes, 1 Corinthians, one of his earlier epistles, that he is the least of the apostles. So, you know what? After he came to know Christ, he said, you know what? I'm not even the greatest of the ones that are sent out. Apostle means being sent out for the purpose of sharing the gospel. I'm the least of the apostles. So we see that humility starting in his own life. As he goes on, later on, he writes the epistle of Ephesians. What does he refer to himself in there? He says, I am the least of all the saints. So not only the least of the apostles, but the least of all the saints. Among all the believers, I'm the least. And again, as he continues in his walk with Christ, as he matures, as he gets to know his Savior more and more, what does he refer to himself in 1 Timothy? The chief of sinners. So again, oftentimes people think, oh, you know, as you progress in your walk, you're going to be more confident. And Paul was definitely confident, but he was confident in Christ. As he walked with Christ, as he matured in the knowledge of his Savior, he went from the least of the apostles to the least of all the saints, to the chief of sinners. And may we, as we mature in Christ, think less of ourselves and more of Christ. Again, we see that Paul is a perfect example of a man maturing in Christ. So may we take that example. We think less of ourselves, less of me, and more of Christ. But again, who are you? Are you proud or are you humble? May we humble ourselves, not even to the point of, hey, I can't save myself, Jesus Christ must save me. But what about our daily walk? What about the daily things we say, we do? Are we humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord? Thinking of who we are, just as we said with Jesus Christ, we look at him and what he did. What defines us and who we are is a lot of times what we do. So the question is, what will you do with him? And we look at a few of the questions of Pontius Pilate. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? We read that in Mark and John. And what did the crowd respond? They said, release to us Barabbas, right? Again, they were making a decision. What did the crowd and what did the religious leaders do with Christ? They rejected him. And they said, give to us Barabbas. Similar question Pilate asked, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who was called Christ? And again, we have a comparison here. And you have these two individuals, Barabbas and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my wife and I, a number of years ago, bought a home. And if anybody's in real estate or purchases a home, we know the three most important things in real estate, right? Location, 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 right? So when you're looking to buy a home, a lot of times you're looking at the neighborhood. You know, not only how nice are the homes down, but what about crime? What about safety for my family in this neighborhood? And I think of these two individuals, Barabbas and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man, Barabbas, thrown into prison for, you know, being a rebel, insurrection, murder, even the Word of God tells us. And the crowd is asking for Pilate to release Barabbas to them. Again, and I mean this with all respect, but I'm just thinking of the town that I live in. Would I rather have Barabbas walking the streets freely or the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it's like a silly question. But the people are calling for this rebel, this murderer, to be released. And we see, what did they do with him? They rejected Jesus Christ. They chose actually to receive a criminal, a true criminal. Isaiah 53:9, we see the complete opposite picture in Jesus Christ, who had done no violence, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Completely opposite of Barabbas. Sinless, perfect sacrifice. Pilate goes on to ask, what accusation do you bring against this man? We see Mark 15:3, the chief priests accused him of many things. In John 5 and Matthew 12, we see that they accuse him of making himself equal with God. They say he cast out demons by the power of Satan. Many false accusations. Although we know that they accused him of being equal with God, he was equal with God, yet they were denying the fact that he was the Son of God, if you follow me. We see that Jesus made a lot of claims. Every claim that he made was true. Yet he was rejected for those true claims, and he was accused of many false things as well. So we see that even oftentimes Jesus did not open his mouth. Some of the last two questions we'll look at Pilate. What shall I do with Jesus who was called the Christ? And what shall I do with the man who you call King of the Jews? How did the crowd respond and the religious leaders as they got the crowd going? Crucify. Crucify. Now again, it's God is orchestrating all these events, and we praise the Lord how we work things out for our salvation. But what are you doing with the Lord Jesus Christ? A lot of people will not respond to him, or they'll put it off, and they'll say, hey, you know what? I'll worry about that later. Even just to share briefly our time in Jamaica, how many people we talked to. And again, a lot of people, they knew the Bible, they knew who Jesus Christ was, they knew the story, and it's like a lot of them were really caught up in some of their sins. And I really appreciate the honesty of the Jamaican people, but a lot of people just like, I'm holding on to sins in my life, and I'm not ready to let that go. And we just go through many verses. Today is the day of salvation. You know, now is the accepted time. Yet, you know what? I'll wait. When I'm ready to give up my sins, that's when I'll be ready. But when we come face to face with Jesus Christ, as we read the Word of God, when anyone comes face to face with the gospel, they need to decide and respond to this question, what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Now, may we be encouraged to not only receive him as our Savior, but what are we going to do with him? Are we just receiving him as our Savior, then tuck him in our back pocket, has nothing really to do with our lives? No, what are we actually doing with Jesus Christ in our daily living? Again, the crowds yelled, crucify him. Some of the life lessons that we learned from Pilate and from Jesus. So again, we've looked at these four questions. Who is Jesus? What did he do? Who are you? And what will you do with him? The lessons that I learned, again, I look at Pilate and ultimately we know what he decided. He decided, you know what? Jesus Christ, I'm delivering you to be crucified. And just to read one more time, if you're still in Mark 15, verse 15, one more time I'll read this verse. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, delivered Jesus to be crucified. Again, I just read a portion of that, but I think there's a lot of good things we can learn from Pilate. He was very inquisitive. He was searching deeper into know who Jesus Christ is. For those of us that have trusted Christ at whatever age, may we search deeper through the pages of Scripture to know more and more about who Jesus Christ is, about what he's done for us, about how we can trust him each and every day of our lives. But then we look at the ultimate decision that Pilate made. To him, satisfying the crowd. To him, his position of authority. He didn't want to risk that. That was more important to him than recognizing and acknowledging who Jesus Christ actually was. So again, there are things we can learn from the good things that Pilate did, asking and really trying to find out who Jesus was, but then we see that he delivered Jesus to be crucified. Some lessons from Jesus Christ. All the accusations against Jesus, again, we see in various passages, he did not answer, and the Word of God says not even a word. And we won't read it, but I referenced it before. 1 Peter 2:21 said he opened not his mouth. You know, he was reviled, but didn't revile in return. May we take that example from Jesus Christ, that oftentimes we're so ready to defend ourselves, we're so ready to speak up and say, you know, that's not me. You got it all wrong. But may we look at the example of Jesus Christ and say, you know what? Let me be like Christ. And as we seek to know him more and more, even as we ask some of these same questions, do we really want to know who Jesus is? Do we really know what he did for us? And I think every time reading the Word of God over and over, even the same passages, God's going to reveal more of his Son to you. God's going to reveal more of his love for you that he expresses in his Son. And again, how do we respond to that? Do we receive it with humility? Do we walk with the Lord in humility, accepting what the Word of God says as true? So again, just a few thoughts to consider, some lessons that we learned from looking at the questions of Pontius Pilate. I have about 2 minutes. I will share a little video on Jamaica. But even as I mentioned to you briefly just about the people of Jamaica, it was interesting because as we shared the gospel, they had a lot of questions. They knew, like, you'd start quoting Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and almost every Jamaican I talk to, but the gift of God is eternal life. A lot of times they stop there. We got to make it through Jesus Christ our Lord, but the knowledge that they had. Yet it kind of kept me on my toes because here, you know, in the U.S., you share a gospel tract with someone, you know, you try and start a conversation, usually, you know, it ends right away. There in Jamaica, like, you know, just go up to and talking to people for like half an hour, 45 minutes. I mean, they really just gave you the time. Here we live in such a busy society. They really took the time to spend with you. But it kind of caught me off guard because then they started asking questions like, hold on, I've never gotten this far. So it was amazing their interest in speaking with you. So again, as we ask questions, may we, even to encourage each of you, as you read the Word of God, I started beginning of January, you know, trying to do my Bible in a year again, and not just to read through it, and reading through the Bible is a great practice to get into, but when you come across a passage that you don't understand, ask a question. You know, it's not wrong to question the Word of God. Now, some people question it in the sense of challenging it, but to read some and say, you know what, I don't know what that means. You know, look at the cross references. Obviously, pray about it. Pray that the Lord would reveal it as far as a better understanding of that passage. Talk to other believers. And may I encourage you to question the Word of God. Even, again, we're still in January, the beginning of a new year. Read the Word of God and ask questions. Get to know what it really is about.